Hello, welcome to Catch Up. It is Monday. We had the real Prime Minister, the not-so-real Prime Minister. It was a wonderful day, jam-packed.
It was jam-packed. I did love that the real Prime Minister actually said his wife, Lucy. I just thought that was part of Rich Uncle Mal's gig.
Yeah, you did, didn't he?
He did say Lucy and I, bless.
My favourite bit of the day was what hit you in the head.
I did love that.
So simple. So simple.
I do love that. We'll hit you in the head. I mean, the final one that happened at State of Origin, that was really, really good. Well, I was trying not to give it away.
Oh, so sorry.
I bleeped it. Don't you worry. We'll never know.
Yeah, good bleeping.
Yeah, what about that?
Oh, I love that bleeping.
Well, I've had to bleep that too. You'll never know what that was.
You bleep that as well.
You'll never know what that was.
I'm just going to keep saying swear words.
Is dildo a swear word?
Oh, it's Lawrence Meaney.
Hello. I'm just coming for a point of order there.
But how would a dildo hit you in the head anyway?
Well,
if you're doing it wrong.
Get out of here!
Well, somebody might have taken it to the football. People take strange things to
all
the
footy. Well, I'll throw one by you. Yeah, I did that big ride the other day with all those blokes who rode from Sydney to Brisbane. I just did a little bit with them. Mm. They saw a dildo on the side of the road and we were riding along. How did that get there?
Oh, come on. She's thrown it out of the car before he finds out. Actually, I have another funny story. A girlfriend of mine
flat.
Who will remain nameless.
Now, hold on. Whoa. A dildo is just a blunt instrument. Batteries go in a vibrator, okay?
Oh,
let's get that straight.
I didn't know that difference. I didn't write that down. Go again.
No, some dildos do have batteries.
Girlfriend who had a vibrator?
Yeah, and she thought someone had broken into the house, so she went into a top drawer to try and find something to go and take him out, and she ended up walking through the house with a vibrator.
Wow.
Get out of here, mate, or I will stick this where you do not want it. I've got a great dildo story.
Yeah.
Yeah. A friend of mine worked, this is the truth, worked in LA for a while, trying to crack it as an actress. Mm. And she ended up working for this kind of like white glove removal company where they come around your house and they photograph everything. Right. And when you move house, they just basically transplant.
Oh, the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't have to pack a box. You don't have to do anything. It's like the same books are on the same shelf. And so she was moving Kathleen Turner from, you know, Romancing the Stone.
Yes.
Jewel of the Nile.
Yeah. Wow.
And she said that Kathleen Turner had this...
bedside table?
No. It was under the bed. It's been thrown under there with, you know, plates and stuff. It was just covered in dust. And
mold? No mold.
It just had a whole lot of, just like, been under there for ages.
Kathleen, take better care.
I'm done with this. Yeah. Under you go.
So what did she do? Did she put it back?
So, yes,
same
she put
place.
It back under the bed. But she said it was the biggest thing she'd ever seen.
All the best to you, Kathleen. Yeah. We know you're listening. Enjoy the catch up.
Team Moto Motorcycles, full of Christmas presents riders really want.
Here we go. Now, we do this every year, Robin. Since you just joined us this year, we have our schoolie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, it was a guy who got a Where's Wally tattoo. What an absolute champion. And Moto's been through this a couple of times with his kids, but it's the first year your eldest son, as we speak, is at schoolies. And
yes.
How's he going?
Well, okay. So I'm usually quite protective, particularly of my oldest son on air, because he doesn't like being mentioned very often. But when you realise...
Hang on, bad luck.
I'm just about to, because when you realise that he's posted all over social media and it's his younger brother who comes to me and goes, "Hey, Mum, guess what he's done?"
Oh, Dobber, online Dobber.
Sunday morning, get a photo, and there is my eldest son with his nose pierced.
What style's he got? Has he got it between the septum, like as in the nose, for the cow ring to lead you around?
No, it's the other side.
Just through one nostril.
Yeah, and I texted him because he hadn't told me, and I texted him. I said, "Oh, mate, how was your first night? You know, did you have a big one? Did you end up in some strange room? You know, what was going on?" And he goes, no, it was pretty tame, except I got a little something.
He got nose rings.
Yeah, he got nose rings.
Well, these blokes were doing this.
The first night, it's just raining. It's f***ing down.
Okay. Not happy about the rain.
Oh, the rain. Yeah, rain. Rain's killing it.
Yeah, but it wasn't too bad.
Rain, hail or shine, I'll still get blind.
Oh,
yeah. Woo.
She sounds like she's...
on her way to uni. So good luck to her.
Her parents must be so proud.
Oh, she's doing philosophy.
Who else you got for me, Marta?
Well, I've got what happens to these high-rise towers, and they all go up and down between floors and go and visit each other. There's too many people. And we witnessed one. We counted 28 people in this elevator. It was stuck and they weren't happy.
We are dead set stuck in this elevator.
Yeah, what happened in there, mate?
A couple of girls passed out and stuff with a bit of vomit, but yeah, it was pretty crazy.
A bit of vomit.
And when there's a bit, there's flows on from there.
Could you actually, no, hang on, because I saw this on the news last night, and the boys, bless their cotton socks, were starting to try and rip open the doors.
That's right.
Could you suffocate in a lift?
No, there's a whole lift shaft above and below you that's full of air.
Thank you.
It's okay. So don't panic.
Well, girls don't passing panic. Out, I wondered if they were like...
They weren't passing out.
If you had anxiety or claustrophobia, it wasn't a good time.
No, it wouldn't have been.
Hey, but tell your young bloke, be careful when you come to the TV camera. They don't like you.
Don't touch the camera, sir.
Don't touch him.
Yeah, that logic.
He called him sir, though. He's never been called sir before.
He's a sound technician. Just the cameraman.
All right, here's our three best of the day, okay? Yeah. These are a couple of lads, and they had Get Your Boobs Out, and all their names were on it and stuff. You know, they put a lot of time into that.
Yeah, clearly.
They were there, and they were interviewed, and one responsible one didn't want the idiot who jumped in and told the camera where they were sleeping. The other bloke said, don't... Oh, will you have a listen?
We're sleeping in a car. We couldn't even get a hotel.
Don't say that.
Because for the other guy, if you listen closely, he gets a how good's that in right at the end.
We're sleeping in a car. We couldn't even get a hotel.
Don't say that.
It's not good, mate. It's not good. And I don't know if this is true, but these girls have been told all sorts of things about schoolies.
The table got thrown off the balcony.
Yeah, it happens every year, apparently.
So it's fine.
Every year.
No, it
doesn't.
That's great. But so far, the clubhouse leader, well, Robin's son for the nose from the nose jewelry, he's an unofficial finalist. But Marto, I believe you've got someone who's who's in the running early for schoolie of the year.
Okay, well, they do. Some of them apparently drink down there. I'm not sure, and this guy might be one of them.
We have a goon sack, and we are charging on.
We have a goon sack, and we are charging on.
Yes. He's doing law next year. He's going to be a lawyer.
Do you reckon that's a war cry? Do you reckon they all get on?
Ready? We have a goon sack, and we are charging on. Yes.
The game is called What's Hit You in the Head? Because there's been two stories recently which I've just been wrapped with. There was the two UFC fighters that would got into an argument in Sydney outside a hotel, and one of the UFC fighters threw a boomerang at him. He threw a boomerang that he had like in a plastic bag that he'd clearly bought from like one of those souvenir stores in the rocks, and he's thrown it and it's hit the other UFC fighter in the head. It didn't come back to his hand, but it was fantastic, and it was probably the only time that boomerang, Marta, will be used as
a weapon. Ever hit somebody in the head? You're right.
Yeah. And it flew really nicely, Robin. It's a beautiful motion. Then there's the other story of a couple, and they were walking with their children past, this is a bit of a scary one, but as they were walking past a golf course, and it's, you can see where this is going, and it's miles from the road, and it's near a road, and then a ball just hit him in the head.
Was he all right? Hit the dad in the head.
He's all right, but he said, look, that was a golf ball and hit me in the head, and the golf course has gone, oh, well, there's no way of knowing where it came from. They did. They're like, wow, no, that could have come from anywhere. Anyone could have hit that towards you.
Magpies. I've done a couple of magpies in the head.
Me too. I bet you've stood around enough soccer fields. I bet you've seen a few people get hit because people talk.
You know,
got their head facing the other way, and those balls fly all over the place. That happens at netball a lot too.
And if you park your car behind the goals, you deserve it. Yeah. I'm just going to say that
controversial.
Out loud.
That is the game. Prize for the best one. It's very simple. What's hit you in the head? Were you a bystander? Were you at work?
I got hit by a level one day. Came off, you have scaffolding, you're doing the outside of the sheeting of the house. I was down below, and the chippy up top knocked his level, hit me dead in the dead right, bang, bing. And when anything hits you in the head from there, no, it didn't knock me out, but I went straight to the ground. It's an instinct that you must have to get away from it. Went to the deck and then went, what the? Oh, it was only a level. Okay. Nothing. Didn't really hurt.
As you were.
Alex is from Acacia Ridge. Alex, what's hit you in the head?
Like scaffolding board.
Oh. That is horrific.
Now, you're a Kiwi that does scaffolding. That's odd.
No, I wasn't. I'm not a scaffolder. We were reglazing a window on a second story.
Oh, okay.
And we put up the scaffolding, and when we were taking it down, as I was lifting it up to pull it off, my hand slipped and, fell on my head.
Oh, did people laugh, Alex?
Oh, they were a bit worried because it was a heavy plank.
Yeah.
Ooh,
big plank today. Did it hurt?
Oh, mate, it hurt like anything. Mm-hmm. I worked for another hour and then I went home because I started getting a bit dizzy and sick.
Oh, were you okay?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I was fine. I got a hard head.
Oh, good. Great. Well, at least you proved that.
That's all right. I got a hard head. There we go. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Watch out for scaffolding boards, everybody, whatever they are.
They're just flying around everywhere.
Paul of Raceview, what hit you in the head?
Mate, look, sisters are dangerous. I worked out that mine didn't have any sense of humour because I got three sisters. The eldest one hit me over the head with a coffee cup and broke it on my head.
Throwing?
Next one,
No.
Just walked up and just smashed a coffee cup over my head.
Okay.
So that was a bit of Claren involved. The next one dropped a brick on my head. She waited until I stepped outside and lined me up with a brick. That was my second oldest sister. But my youngest sister was the one that saved the best for last. She drew a smiley face on the back of a shovel and hit me in the face with it.
Okay.
Okay, what sort of brother are you, Paul, that would warrant three of your sisters to do that to you?
Oh, we still laugh about it today.
Oh, great.
But it takes ages
to... my chipped tooth and broken nose.
The shovel. Like, it takes a long time to put a smiley face on. Were they angry when they did all this, or they just thought it was funny? You were like the Three Stooges family.
No, they were a bit cranky. It might have been something to do with my younger sister's doll and a band tour. They might have been involved and provoked her a bit. But
See? You ask the question, you finally get the truth.
Yes, he was down in his dungeon, Paul.
Pretty much.
That's what he
deserved. Like the kid out of Toy Story. What was his name? Sid. Who used to do terrible things to Barbies.
Yes. Okay. Kim from Zilmia. It's a pretty simple question. Yeah. What hit you in the head?
Chicken carcass.
What?
A chicken.
What do you mean? What happened?
Back in the old days of, the beginning days of State of Origin at the old Lang Park, I was sitting in the outer with the Queensland tracksuit top on, heaping some New South Wales supporters behind me, and I must have been pretty loud supporting Queensland and got hit in the back of the head with a chicken carcass.
So someone's taken a chook in their little foam esky to the footy, which you used to be allowed to do. You're allowed to take food in.
Yeah.
And they just tossed the chicken carcass.
Yeah.
And it hit you flush in the back of the head, Kim?
Straight in the back of the head.
Does it hurt to be hit in the head with a chicken carcass, or does it just all break up?
Yeah, it kind of just smooshed into my head. It was more the shock of it than what the hell are you doing with a chicken carcass
and the footy?
When you turned around,
sex
did they...
toy for New South Wales fans, I believe.
they had a good giggle about it.
New South Wales.
Don't even have the guts to throw a full chicken, just a carcass. That'd be right, wouldn't it?
Marto and Robin on Triple M. Malcolm Young at 64 passed away, and we're getting your AC/DC memories on 133353.
Oh my God!
What?
Not this one, but Greg from Albany Creek. What happened, mate? Your AC/DC memory?
G'day, Marto. In late 74, early 75, Marto, I used to run dances to raise money for our school formal. We actually booked AC/DC. I think it cost us about $250 for the night. There was a couple of other bands on the bill. Bob Spencer from the Angels. Actually, Bob is an old classmate of mine.
Greg, are we Aspley High? Where are we?
Sorry?
Which school?
Morris Brothers and Pagewood in Sydney.
Oh, okay. Oh, right, yeah, of course. Right, and so hang on. For $250, you got AC/DC and...
Yeah, the La-Di-Das and a band called Finch, which Bob Spencer was the lead guitar in. So it was a pretty good bill. We was a Dacerville Police Boys Club, and we probably had over 1,000 kids there that night. And actually, the money we raised paid for our formal.
That is fantastic. Yeah. And do you remember them? Do you remember meeting the guy, the young
brothers?
Yeah,
I do, actually. All I remember, Ed, was extremely loud, bud.
Yeah,
of course.
I've seen videos of them. Awesome, there weren't enough people, like, they didn't know the music in the 74 and stuff. They'd never heard AC/DC and they stood there just stunned. What about, did people rock along to them?
Yeah, we actually ran quite a few during that year, and the Mixtures, the old Pushbox song. So a lot of the old Aussie bands we were quite proactive in those days. And there was about four or five of us that actually were looking to get into the music industry. We thought, well, this is a good gig. We'll have a crack at this. And the booking agency, obviously ACD, so we had never heard of them. When they said, what are they like? They said, oh, they're just loud. So kids in those days, the louder the better.
Louder the better. Excellent. That's great, Greg. That's fantastic. Awesome.
And how sad is it that we can't do that nowadays?
Yeah.
You know, there's no bands that, you know, our kids are going to go remember when, because we just don't have that culture.
I remember the first time I saw Timmy Trumpet.
All right, let's stay with ACDC.
Okay.
Brett and Forestdale.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good. When did you see ACDC? What are your memories?
It was thanks to you guys, Triple M. I won tickets back in 88 at Boondall. I was 15 at the time. It was my first experience with them. And, it was just mind-blowing show. And couldn't wait to get back to see them the next occasion. And finally got to take my 12-year-old son last year to their concert to show him what it was all about. And He had an awesome time, so he still talks about it today.
God, so what year was... There was another one in between when they were at QE2. So in 88, you're saying they were at Boondall.
Correct.
Where, was it 2006 or so?
I went to a couple at Boondall. I missed one of them. I think it was Ballbreaker Tour, but saw them a couple of times at Boondall. And,
oh, good.
And then, caught the last two shows they did at... at QET Stadium, Black Ice. And
that's how long they've been going. You got to take your son after Triple M gave you tickets in the 80s. That's amazing.
So cool.
Thanks, Brett. Good, great memory, mate.
I love this one. Now, can I introduce you? This has got me fascinated. This is my old rugby league team down at Kirby Road at Aspley. Michael, you saw them where?
Kirby Road, Aspley, at the North Aspley Hornets Club. It was 74, I think, 74, 75. I was in grade 11 or grade 12.
74, 75. So you're saying it was at the AFL club, the Hornets, not at the Devils, the rugby league?
No, sorry, I've got the Hornets mixed up. It was Kirby Road Aspley. I'm pretty sure it was the rugby league club.
That's the rugby league
at
club.
The Devils.
Now, what was it? What was the event?
I don't know. Look, I was about 15 or 16, and I think I was drunk at the time. And
most of us.
Not laughing.
Some of my friends just dragged me along there, and he was ACDC playing.
You still remember it, Michael? You still remember it?
Absolutely.
Were they good, Michael? Do you remember it as something that, you know, you went, oh, my gosh?
Well, they just had that beat, you know. It was just like, we thought, wow, what's that? You know, like, I'd never really heard of them. It was incredible.
Oh, my God.
And was Bon going off that night?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
Thank you for your calls.
There's not many bands. There's not many bands you can put it out, and someone will say, yes, I saw them in 1974.
And they're still going.
Yeah, and they're still going.
An incredible legacy. They influence a lot of today's modern rock as well, and some of those tributes up at triplem.com.au, right. So well worth checking them out.
Over the years, The Chaser has gone to war with, well, everyone.
Now in our new podcast, we've joined with Border Force and ASIO to interrogate the scum that threaten our way of life.
Writers, thinkers, and worst of all, comedians.
Extreme Vetting with The Chaser. If you like comedy or national security, catch us on Podcast One. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au.
No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Okay, we've got him. The Prime Minister of this country is on the line right now, which means we need to speak to him. Hello, Malcolm Turnbull.
Hello there. How are you? Beautiful day in Brisbane.
Hello, Mr. Turnbull. Can I just check something, Prime Minister? Yeah. Now, you probably know the Triple M network has another bloke calling himself the Prime Minister. How do we know it's not you or him?
Well, I know there is a suggestion that Lawrence Mooney and I have got a sort of a body double going on, so that you'll just have to work it out. Is this?
You know what? I would love to see Malcolm Turnbull take. I would love to see Lawrence Mooney take a bullet for you, Malcolm Turnbull. That would be fantastic.
I'm not sure.
That would help us out. That would be fantastic. So you must be happy the yes vote, which you had supported. The yes vote got through last week.
Yeah, very thrilled. Luce and I are really thrilled. It was a very positive, democratic decision. You know, it was a vote for love. It was a vote for commitment. Vote for marriage equality. And wasn't it great that 80% of Australians had their say? Not all of them voted yes, of course, but nearly 62% did. So that was a very big affirmation. And big majorities in right around the states and territories. And, of course, in nearly just under 90% of federal electorates voted yes. So that was pretty... pretty overwhelming.
But now it's up to you to get it in and get it on, and so allowing people to get married. Can we do it before Christmas?
Yes, that is the Parliament absolutely can, and I'm very confident it will. And my priority and the government's priority is to recognise the will of the people is that we should get this done, and that's what we're going to be doing everything we can to achieve before Christmas. I think the opposition have got a similar commitment, so between us, I'm very confident we can make it work. There'll obviously be a lot of debate and a lot of amendments discussed. It is, Parliament's, that's what Parliament's for, but ultimately we know we have got a very clear direction from our masters, the Australian people.
So true. But can I just check, doing a lot of reading on the weekend, the north and the central and city parts of Sydney all voted overwhelmingly yes, but the west of Sydney was the worst in Australia, Western Sydney, which is a huge area, voting no. What does that mean, like, for those electorates? What are they up to?
Well, the electorates that had the biggest no vote, and you're talking about Blaxland, Watson, McMahon, they've got very large migrant or ethnic communities, multicultural communities, those three have all got very large Muslim communities.
So they've brought their old values with them and don't want to shake them.
Well, everyone's entitled to their point of view. Yeah. So it is a democracy. And I want to be very clear about this. I absolutely respect and understand the conservatism of those who voted no. Remember the fight I had to have, with Labor, with opposition from the crossbenchers, even from some people on my own side, who did not want me to be able to fulfil my promise at the election to give everyone their say.
Yeah.
So we respect everyone's point of view. Everyone had their say, but in a democracy, the majority prevails.
Can I ask you, let's say I'm driving down from Narangbar today, just north of Brisbane. I'm stuck in traffic and my power prices are so high. And I'm saying, I don't really give a stuff. I'm happy. I know some gay people and I'm happy for them to do whatever they want to do. But can we deal with the real issues? What do you say to them?
I say, I absolutely understand that. That's why I wanted to bring this issue to a head, get it resolved, get it dealt with one way or another, and then get the focus back onto... my focus has never shifted, by the way, but from a media point of view, you've got to get the focus back onto energy prices, onto business, onto jobs, onto investment. Now, on that score, we are making good progress. As I was saying yesterday at Tim Nichols and Deb Frecklington's LNP launch, we've seen in the last year in Australia 355,000 jobs created, 85% of them full-time. That's nearly 1,000 jobs a day. So when I said at the election, and you probably heard it more than you liked, jobs and growth used to be a slogan, now it's an outcome, and that's because we're getting on with it.
So, Prime Minister, who did you just send to Message Bank because you're talking to us?
I didn't notice. I just reached across and pressed the red button.
Was it, Prime Minister, was it Tony Abbott asking you to speak at his daughter's wedding?
I don't think so.
You never know.
I've seen the news, though, and congratulations to the young couple.
Yeah, Mr. Trouble, a favourite ACD song?
It's a good week for love, isn't it?
So it is a great week.
Have you got a favourite ACD song? We've been doing a lot of reflecting this morning.
Tell me, give. What's your favourite ACD song?
Long Way to the Top for me.
Yeah, Long Way to the Top.
Highway to Hell. Do I just keep reeling them off?
Run through a few more.
Barbie Girl.
I'll tell you my favourite song from that era is The Mentals. If You Leave Me, Can I Come Too?
I love that one too.
But I'm very romantic, and that's always that's my. That's the old romantic in me.
Prime Minister, we have to let you go. I know that you've got an apartment booked for schoolies this week, so have a great time, and we will speak to you soon.
See you later. Thanks a lot. Cheers. Have a good day.
Bye. Marto, Ed and Robbins,
Sports All In. Hey, Start with the Wallabies.
Can we cover off on the Wallabies? I know. When I got up yesterday morning, I taped it. Kath told me, good on you, Kath. She got up early, had the news on, and went, oh, bad luck, hun.
Oh, I hate that.
I went,
that.
What?
I
no,
hate
you can't.
That.
When has she beaten me out of bed to start with?
And
she goes, oh, no, they got really badly done too. I said, I was about to watch it. You're kidding.
Go Cavs.
So I watched
it.
It was good, actually. I watched it at +6 times 6, so it was over in 30 minutes.
So. Oh, good.
Yeah, Ed and I are able to watch rugby at footy at a really fast rate.
Rapid weight. Hey, so was it 20 to 6 for the England beat?
30 to 6, the final score.
Okay, I saw it described. I saw the highlights and I saw it described as that there was some very... iffy refereeing calls that went against the Wallabies.
There was, and that's rugby. How often do you bloody see rugby? Well, soccer sometimes the same too, isn't it? Oh, referees
play a role. Okay, but you don't want to be going on about that because it makes you sound like a sore loser.
I know, you don't want to be, but check out, the cameras are onto him now that he's such an emotional. He's a Lebanese-Australian. He's a very emotional bloke, but the players, he really goes to bat for them. And there was at one stage after, when your captain gets yellow carded for 10 minutes into the bin, I don't know if he said effing chat, I want to have an effing chat with somebody, or he might have said cheat. But they picked it up and they wanted to reply it straight after the game. Like, he's not happy. His team's just been blown away by...
The problem is
the coach of England, they were great mates when they were growing up in Randwick. So, and Eddie Jones, the coach of England, just keeps taunting him, and it is really chewing
his
bum.
He does.
Right, here's Checker to the female reporter who said... Oh, you can't say, you know, you can't call the ref a cheat. And he's going, hold on, I'm in the privacy, in the coaching zone. I can do whatever I like. And he really got into it.
You know, maybe I could have said something, but if that's the new thing, well, yeah, maybe I did swear. I don't know, right? It happens sometimes in life. I'm sure you have as well, have you? Maybe the TV camera wasn't on you at the time.
Ooh,
and
go,
then he
buddy.
Just walked away.
Go, buddy.
I don't know. He's sort of protecting the players because then people aren't asking the questions of the players. Oh, why did you let yourself down? They're asking now. They're talking about Checker, and the players are scot-free. It's
but I agree with what he's saying, which is he's in a coach's box watching the game. He hasn't asked for the cameras to be on him in that situation. Yeah. He's performing his job. Well, you can't be filmed doing that in that situation and then be forced to answer and also, who can remember? Even as a fan, if there was a... Like, put it this way, Marto. Let's say that you were watching a game and there was a camera on you for the whole time and then you had to do a press conference with what you said afterwards... You wouldn't survive. You'd have to run the tape at midnight. The language would be so blue. I just think that's a terrible precedent being set.
That's not where political correctness needs to be in a coach's box. Anyway.
I agree. Yep,
Rugby League World Cup, was everyone on board?
Fantastic.
Did you watch any this weekend?
I didn't really. I had it on a bit in the background, but when I saw New Zealand lose, I just went, what's wrong with this?
I watched that
4-2.
Game.
So did I loved it.
It was a soccer score, 4-2.
So good.
And incredible defensive performance from Fiji. And Jared Hayne getting to play. Well, who would have thought is a great point? The Kiwis just aren't that good. And let's go back to that night in, where was it, Newcastle? Where there was some incident with some of the players. And then
that was Canberra, earlier this year for the Anzac Test.
That's where it all happened, when they said, that's it, we're making a stand, we're not picking a few people. Jason Taumalolo defected. No, I'm not playing for you guys.
Well, Kenny Dowell out of there too. Yeah, they're about five or six players down on their best team. And if Adam Blair's your captain, if that's as good as you got, you're a joke.
And I'm glad it came back to bite them. It's great. I'm really happy for Fiji.
And the last thing was, if anyone doesn't know, actually, we will have tickets later on. Fiji are playing Australia, Suncorp Stadium, this Friday night. What a weekend it is in Brisbane.
But also, don't forget that come midday here, 1 o'clock, the rest of the country, Commonwealth Games tickets go.
Right, I'm interested in this. Tell me, I heard midday today, I have to get on the phone. Is that right?
Or you can go online, but I would ring.
Where did these tickets come from? They told me they were sold out.
Yeah.
That was 5-6 months ago.
They assumed that the world really wanted them, and so they did a ballot system, and the problem was that no one did.
Internationally.
Yeah.
Are they surprised? Exactly right. St. Kitts and Nevis didn't take up their allocation.
And I can say from personal experience, we tried 3 times to get on and couldn't.
That's right.
So
tell me what tickets are available.
Pretty much everything. Pretty much everything. Opening ceremony, closing ceremony.
Oh, no. Who goes to those?
Sports, opening ceremony.
Athletics. There's some limited, but a lot that's...
events? Are we triple jumping? No,
because you get a whole day pass, so it's whatever is on in the day.
Oh,
So all of the heats are available. The finals are limited, but that would mean one or two. Mm. Oh, Badminton. That's your game.
Badminton. Oh, that'd be fun. I've seen that. That's
basketball in Cairns and Townsville. No, who wants to go there? A little bit of beach volleyball. Boxing. You've still got some boxing available.
Go back to the beach volleyball. That's quite popular with some people.
Limited.
Yeah. What does that mean?
There'll be
bad seats.
Yeah, a couple. Yeah, pretty much.
It means you can play in the Sri Lankan team if you want.
I could go everywhere with this, but basically most of the sports that you know and love.
Rugby sevens, any sevens?
Available.
Are there really?
Yes, there are. And
the other option, because I just figured I'd missed out. I was just going to go and watch the bike road race and the marathon.
Oh, table tennis.
Oh, Brendan, get on the site, mate. We are there.
Table tennis, badminton day.
Actually, lawn bowls.
Oh dear.
As a commentator, as a lawn bowls commentator, I can tell you that it is really
shaping up.
Really shaping up as one of the great tournaments.
Here's you at the last Commonwealth Games.
Ooh, I like that.
I want to talk about Tony Abbott's daughter, Frances. She has been quite an interesting enigma as time's gone on with his political career, because she's always agitated from the sidelines, a bit like his sister. You know how Christine Foster, she is very much, he's in same-sex relationship. Anyway, his daughter...
Didn't he have two or three daughters?
Yeah, he's got four girls.
Oh, God.
And one of them has got quite a large social media account. She, as I said, she agitates. She likes to kind of disagree with her father on many things, same-sex marriage being one of them. Anyway, she's
still living in Kirribilli House?
Is she? Yeah. No.
Okay.
No.
Was she the one that got the... scholarship to the fashion school? It was.
Oh, there was one of them.
She was made up.
Yeah, I think she is, because she's.
So she's really struck out against her dad. Dad, you don't run my life.
Can I get that scholarship, bro?
She describes herself as a fitness fanatic. Anyway, the reason why she's of interest over the weekend is that she's put on her social media that she has become engaged to a former Olympian. He was a rower, I think, turned weightlifter. His name is Sam Locke. But here's the rub. They've been together 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And what did you say? She's announced her engagement.
Yes. Now, I understand the whole, you know...
True love.
Yeah, that limerence that happens when you first fall in love, and that human that you've fallen in love with is perfect. But I guess what I'm wanting to know is, do you know anyone where that has happened so quickly and it's actually worked out?
Great question.
I've got one in our family. Yeah, Cass got five sisters. My wife's got five sisters. So the six of them. One of them, the fiance, when he knew that he wanted to marry, to get married to her, he rang the Cass dad. It would be 9 days, and asked for her hand in marriage. Now they've got a 32-year-old, so they must be married now 33 years. 9 days, and the old man, Cass, old man said, "Which one are you?" No, which one? He asked which daughter first, because he had six daughters. And then he said, "What's your name again?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, all right."
So didn't care.
Go over the all clear. Well, he had six daughters. Yeah. You know,
so did they wait then? So I get you get engaged after 9 days.
They did wait. They didn't get married the next week or anything. I think they got married about 5 months later.
Yeah, but it worked. Simple as that. It worked. Said they were going to get married.
They knew in the first 9 days.
Oh, man. Because I would have thought that it's all great to say that, but realistically it wouldn't work. But you're saying it does. Has anyone worked for anyone else? I'd love to hear.
This is great. Does the short together, quickly married, does quickly married work? Greg's from Ormo. Greg, talk us through it, mate. How long after you met your, wife, were you engaged?
About a week.
Okay, so take me through this. Where did you meet her?
At water skiing, which my brother had organised.
Now everyone take note of that. Shared activities are more likely to lead to further dates. Correct, Greg?
Well, yeah, but I was up from Melbourne for a holiday, so I saw her once.
Okay, so you saw her in her togs on a water ski thing.
This is like the olden times.
And you immediately knew? Like, what was going on in your head?
I don't know. I just immediately knew she was the one.
What did you talk about? It's just interesting. Or was her body just that? You just had to get involved.
No, we just... talk about general things, work and hobbies and all that sort of stuff.
Righto. So, as it went on, how did you get engaged?
Well, she flew down to Melbourne the next week, and we got engaged.
What?
Straight away.
Yep.
So hang on. So you met water skiing. You then went back to Melbourne, and you rang her or whatever, and said, "Do you want to come down here?" She came down for a date.
For
for a weekend. Yes, we had a long weekend up here.
Oh, saucy.
May Day weekend.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so she flew down on the Friday night, went and bought her a ring. We got married.
Did you Did you test the goods at any stage over that weekend?
Don't say that. No, oh, no, it's rent, Greg.
That's
no,
it, that's a yellow card.
Even I don't want... Yeah.
That is a yellow card. I can't
call them goods, mate. Can't call them goods, mate.
The question's fine. It's just the
you can say, did you test?
What?
No, I don't know if you can say that either.
Well, you can't get engaged unless you've... Maybe you can.
Did you have relations before you
stop
you got
it,
married,
all Greg? Of you.
Can't ask that.
No.
Can't ask that.
You can't ask that?
Greg.
Why can't
how long it have you been... For... Ignore them. How long have you been married for?
Yes.
34 years.
Wow. Okay. Tested the merchandise in that time.
Okay, no, that's...
thank
no,
you. Let's move on.
Greg, that's a beautiful love story.
Brooke of Ipswich.
Yes, hi. Hello.
Now, it says on our screen that your husband got engaged after two dates. Was that to you?
To me, yes.
Okay, just checking.
But why doesn't... Yeah, anyway. So where did you meet him? I love hearing these. Come on.
We actually knew each other when we were, like, little children, like, from the age of 9 to 11, and I moved away.
Wow.
And then after a long time, we saw each other maybe once or twice before we started our dating, and we dated 2 days, and then he asked me to marry him. I said yes. We've been married for 13 years.
See, I think there's something in the fact that you know someone from way back when. There's a trust that happens straight off.
Greg didn't. Greg just met a water skiing.
Hated him back then.
Hated him back in the day. Okay.
So when you're reunited, love at first sight, would you almost say?
I think... Like, as we got older and we saw each other, like you know, I saw him for a couple of hours one day. And, like, you know, over that time, it just kind of like, oh, he's all right. He's not as bad as what I thought when we were kids.
Oh, that's something to base a wedding on. Yeah. Not as bad as I thought he was.
Yeah, that's a basis for a long relationship.
Yeah, love Peter. Forever.
Peter's from Alexandra Hills. And tell us, now, where did you meet your wife?
I met her on a blind date.
Oh, she was set up. Okay.
Wow.
And then how many dates until you got engaged?
Well, I moved in with her the next day. 5 weeks later, we were engaged. A bit over 6 months later, we were married.
Oh,
we have three beautiful children, six grandchildren, and we've been married 32 years, been together 33 years.
What, why did you move in the next day?
Yeah, homeless.
I found someone that talked to me twice.
Nice.
Did you beg her?
No. It was just...
This worked, mate.
Same thing. Just new.
Yes,
just new.
I'm not saying it's been all roses, but we've got a great relationship and yeah, everything's good.
There you go. It does kind of, you know, makes you believe in love,
I love
just
it.
A little bit.
Well, that's why, you know, that's why I'm on Tinder.
I was kidding.
Because I never know who I might meet.
You're going to need it.
You know what I mean? It's my wife. And if this is how my wife finds out, then so be it.
Lawrence Moonman Mooney. Good morning, Moon.
Morning, Brendo. Morning, guys.
Hello, Moon.
Hello.
It's very nice to be here. I'm standing upright. I've been visiting the osteo. Our relationship's gone next level. Because I've got an L4-5 disc issue.
Oh, no. Are
we gonna what does that mean?
We're going to hear about lumbar problems for a whole year.
We are. That's the only material I've got. I threw it out.
Doing
what? I reckon I...
And this is a real comedian who does.
This is a real
labor.
Old man injury. I reckon I stepped off a curb awkwardly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know when you don't see it coming, and you all of a sudden you go bang, and oh,
there goes my lumbar.
Yeah, there goes my lumbar. Anyway, so I went to see the osteo, and the third visit, he goes, listen. When your back seizes up, your stomach muscles also are seizing up. The whole kind of like saddle
you're
there.
Locked up.
Yeah, so we're going to work on your front today. And I was like, are we? Why are you pulling the blinds down and putting that music on?
And when he said we, did he have a couple of mates come in there?
He had a
friends of mine.
Yeah, there was a lot of people in the room. Anyway, you know, there's these suction cups that put an electrical impulse through the muscle.
They're good,
so he put four of those on, but one, it was definitely subpubic region.
Yeah, man.
You know, that's what they use for childbirth.
What do you mean?
That you can get those, what are they called, the tenor?
Yeah, tens machines.
Tens machines, yeah. But in the crease where your leg meets your body, I reckon is just too
far. No, it's a bit much.
It's also but bruising down there is hard to explain.
The sensation was disturbing, but confusing. Not altogether unpleasant. Anyway, we're catching up Wednesday for a movie, so it's gone next level.
That sounds like a lovely idea. You know how you're often accused of never, Lawrence Mooney, you're never accused, you say, people say, listen, you're never in the same room as the Prime Minister because there is a rumour going around that you are Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, doing I know, it's ridiculous.
It's absolutely absurd.
Well, we actually had him on this morning, and because, you know, Malcolm Young has died, the AC/DC guitarist, and we asked him what we thought was a fairly simple question, which was, Malcolm Turnbull, Prime Minister, what is your favourite AC/DC song? This is what he had to say.
Have you got a favourite AC/DC song? We've been doing a lot of reflecting this morning.
Well, tell me, give. What's your favourite AC/DC song?
Long Way to the Top for me.
Yeah, Long Way to the Top.
Highway to Hell. Well, I just keep reeling them on.
Run through a few more.
Barbie Girl.
No idea. Had no idea. Didn't know one.
How do you not know an AC/DC?
Question without notice, they'd call that in Parliament.
But it's just AC/DC.
Yeah, well, he's feeling bad about it, so he wanted to come back on to see if he can sort of set the ledger straight.
Oh, who, the PM?
So, yeah, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM. Good morning again, sir.
Good morning to you, Ed, and hello to you, Robin and Marto. And Brando, of course. Now, Marto, you caught me on the hop because you said AC/DC song, and I thought, what are you talking about?
Oh.
I've reflected on it, and I've come back with my favourite AC/DC song, and that is She's Got Balls.
I think it
reflects about the independent and strong women in the parliament. Mm-hmm. And Michaela Cash, and maybe even your own premier, Anastasia Palaszczuk.
Yes, she's got. Is it this one?
I love how it goes. It's like she's got balls. She's got balls. She's got balls. It's very.
Yeah.
Lady's got balls. She's got balls.
Yes.
She's got balls.
Yes. Oh, okay.
She's got balls.
Yeah, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, there we go.
It's a strong message.
Yeah.
Clearly, one of their big hits.
Strong message.
Maybe it's a little bit anachronistic, the idea that a strong woman has to have testicles in order to be an independent, strong woman. But I like that song. I can really bang my bonce along to it.
It's a bit like that Hannah who was denied the opportunity to play in the AFL.
She's got balls. And by that I mean just the bravery to stand up and say I want to play AFLW.
Yes, of course. Well, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, thanks so much for coming back on to clarify that you are, in fact, a huge AC/DC fan.
You've all got balls.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye now.
Okay, bye. The PM, Rich Uncle Mel, what a thrill. Lawrence Mooney had to duck out too, so he's...
that's weird.
I think he just went to the toilet.
Okay, far be it from me to question the Oracle of Weather who is sitting beside me.
I'm not the Oracle of Weather, I'm an enthusiast.
Well, yes, and every morning while, you know, I'm chatting to my children or trying to organise school lunches, he's checking out the very exciting website of BOMB.
No, I'm only checking sea breeze. I'm more interested in wind.
Of course.
I'm more interested in the wind.
Yeah, anyway. I want you to tell me why it's so cold.
Because it's a southeasterly blowing.
Yeah, but come on, it's the end of November and I'm wearing jackets and jumpers. I've got jeans on. I've already got my summer wardrobe out. I want to wear a dress. This is ridiculous.
You've gone through, this must be what's happening with Kath, because Kath made this exact, very similar... I had a little rant yesterday about what's going on with our stupid weather.
Exactly right. Thank you, Kath.
So you've made the changeover because I recently had to put a suitcase up top.
Yeah, usually do it in September
holidays.
So that
was the winter gear's gone. That's why she's disturbed by this.
Absolutely. Gotcha. It is ridiculous.
Can I ask a question, weather guy? Does this mean, if it's unseasonably mild now, does this mean that February and March in particular are going to be stinking hot?
No, that's not a given, no. But they're going to be stinking hot. They're stinking hot. At some stage, there'll be 3 or 4 weeks in January, February, that'll be stinking hot. I remember there was a Christmas that was never got above 27. So
that's
because if the southeasterlies blow, which they're going to blow for the next 10 days or so,
it's
going to be
cold.
This temperature. What is this temperature? Is it 16 to 25 and stuff like that?
Stupid.
But November,
don't try and pretend that this is normal.
You have a look at it.
It may have happened once back when, you know, Noah had the ark.
No, it's happened. No. Everything happens. Like, people forget the little days. Like, people go, geez, it's raining. No, it's not raining right now. And people forget what happened historically. Tell me, what's it supposed to be today, Brendo? Because the history, I've just looked it up. 19 to 26, 19 minimum, 26 maximum, is November's historical. That's all time, all right, for November.
23?
Right in the wheelhouse, brother. Top of 25, partly cloudy, few showers.
Not far off, eh?
Yeah.
We had that little blast of summer earlier where it went to 32, then some clowns like yourself and my wife.
Clowns?
Well, they just said, oh, well, that's the end of winter, done and done.
Oh, no. That's
get me
anyone.
In the big suitcase and I'm throwing all the winter stuff out.
No, that's anyone that doesn't wear Terry Towling shorts.
Well, that's year-round. You'd be surprisingly how good they are in winter, Terry Towling.
No, I'm not going to talk to you.
All right. Saturday arvo, they had a 4-2 victory against New Zealand.
Glorious.
Knocking them out of the World Cup. The Fijians have now set their sights. They'll be playing Australia this Friday night at Suncorp Stadium. And what about this? You wake up this morning and Fiji have made a historic bid for entry into the 2019 New South Wales Intrust Premiership. They're going to be playing on a regular basis every week in Australia. The man to talk to is the bloke who's driving it, a huge friend of ours, Petro Sivanisiva, ex-Bronco, ex-Origin legend. Morning, mate.
Good morning, mate, Robin. How are you going?
Good. You must have been so excited across the weekend.
Oh. Yeah, it was an amazing win and, just so proud of the team. I guess we weren't given too much hope, really, against, what was a star-studded New Zealand Kiwi outfit, but... there's just a tremendous amount of belief within this Fijian team. And, it was all on display there the other night in the performance. And the emotions afterwards were something that I've
Kevin Nagama after the game, did you love that, him crying in the post-match interview?
Yeah, look, he's such a great leader, such a great captain. And, he makes, it very clear that, religion and faith is such a big part of who he is. And he used that with our devotions. Every 7 o'clock every morning, the team will get up and we'll do a devotion which runs for about 15 minutes. Consists of just a prayer from Kevy, and he just talks about, the Bible and a few hymns. And look, it's something completely different that I've ever experienced in any other team environment. But I tell you what, it's an awesome way to start the day.
Petro, a lot of the talk about the Rugby League World Cup at the start was, it's just going to be a walkover, Australia, New Zealand. And really, I think the Papua New Guinea, the Fijian team, the Tongan team and the Samoan team have showed that there is a great passion for the game. Even the Lebanon team as well, and it's about the buy-in of the players, and then that has an effect on the crowds, which then again has the effect on the whole tournament. So do you think that Fiji going into the New South Wales Intrust, do you think that is a good way of sort of maintaining that? Because we know that rugby union's coming pretty hard for the Fijian, for the Fijian players and public as well.
Yeah, look, I think it's a wonderful thing in that, the performances of those tier two nations, those nations that probably weren't expected to do too well in the World Cup. I mean, really, they've just really captured the attention of sports fans and rugby league supporters that have followed the duration of the World Cup so far. And I think for those players, I mean, just that opportunity to honour your heritage.
Petro Sivanisiva, mate, it's always a pleasure to
and
speak to you.
He's got some tickets for Friday night's game as well. Thanks, Pet.
No worries, team. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Good on you, Pet. Yes, indeed. Right now, man, 133353. Get in touch. It is coming to Brisbane. Going to be an absolute cracker. Australia, Fiji. If you don't want to miss out, get your tickets now. RLWC2017.com. Otherwise, 133353 right now for that double. On you, Pet.